Factus Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
We've got Pete Moore in the studio. Pete Moore, hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, Ian?
I'm all right, thanks. Thanks for asking. Not many people do, or not enough. Just tell us, because you are like part of a group that's organised an event. You did the Francis Benali event a while back, and you got a biggie coming up soon. So.
Yeah, we did. It was myself and my business partner, Rebecca Gregory, and we just came up with the idea, wanted to bring really in something different to the island. So we brought Francis back in the summer, we did a VIP meet and greet with him, and it went really, really well. People that attended had a great experience. They met Francis, they got a lot of stuff signed, we raised some money for Wessex Cancer Trust. So Rebecca and I were really happy with, you know, achieving that for Wessex, but also bringing something different to the island that people could enjoy, have a different experience with. So we went away and thought, actually, what could we do? What next person could we bring? And we thought World Cup is just around the corner. So we thought, let's go and have a chat with Stuart Pearce. So we managed to do that, working with Francis. So we sort of spoke to Francis, and Francis introduced us kindly to Stuart, and we had a conversation, and Stuart said, love to come to the island, love the island, spend the time here when he can. He's got a window. He's been fully agreed, but I think he's covering the whole World Cup in Qatar. I think his first game's England Iran. So Becky and I were over the moon. So he said, look, I can time it, come into the island, I'll do a meet and greet, raise some money for Wessex, and here we are.
Brilliant. I just picture, and maybe I'm doing him a disservice, but I just picture him like, you ask him, no, because he's like this, I don't know, growly giant that would just, what do you want? Because that's how he played, wouldn't it? That's how he was, but he's nothing like that.
No, he's absolutely fantastic. Becky and I were kindly invited to Francis's big ball that he does every year over in Southampton, raising money for cancer research. And he was sitting on the next table, and I said to Becky, just out of pure, I said, before we leave this evening, I've got to just go and shake Stuart Pearce's hand or just have a conversation with him, because, you know, what he's done in football and just generally. So Becky and I had a chat with him, and we sort of asked him then, really, and said, it'd be lovely to sort of do something with you. And he said, yeah, sure, keep in touch. And we sort of went from there. So it's just a really nice conversation. And he's very... very unassuming, but a very, very lovely guy.
But that's, I mean, I can remember somebody bought me an autobiography of his not long after the World Cup in 1990.
Yeah.
And I don't think, because I mean, no insults, so I'm not really a massive reader. And I only got about three quarters of the way through it. But there was a lot that stayed with me. It was something that I wished I'd have finished, and maybe I'll go back and it will inspire me to go back and finish the book. But I've only read about six books in my life, which is kind of sad, but I got three quarters of the way through, and you could tell that he was, I don't know, down to earth, genuine, worked hard, and how can I put it, an honest professional.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And I think one of the statements that we both received when we were chatting with Francis is that Francis sort of was, you know, talking to us at the event, and he said, the one person you don't want to come up against in a game is Stuart Pearce. He said, you really don't. He said, I was lucky I never actually had to interact with him because I was on the other side of the field. But he said he was just an absolute awesome player. And he said, you just don't want him tackling you, because you're potentially not going to get up.
I mean, in my lifetime, I don't remember too many players that were of that ilk, where you would be a little bit fearful and maybe not going fully committed just in case. I mean, I'm just thinking, in my lifetime, it's probably Vinnie Jones and Steve McMahon, but he was just one of those players that the other ones that I've just mentioned, they were all sort of, I don't know, a little bit loud, a little bit leery. Pearce used to just get on with it, and there was no nonsense.
No. And I think it's quite scary, because it was sort of, some of the times I used to watch him play with Forest against United, and just generally other England games, and he just would get up. He'd put in a challenge and he'd just look at the other players and say, what are you doing on the floor? Get up, you know, it's all part of the game. And I agree with you. I think, yeah, he was just a no-nonsense player. And I think in today's game, I think, you know, would you have him in your team? Yes, you would, because he... like we were saying earlier, he gives 110%.
Well, I read something, and some of it stayed with me, and there's some wonderful stories, and obviously he's going to tell some of these wonderful stories as well, I'm sure, on the night. But there was, you know, I got from it that he was a big Jam fan. Wealdstone was where he started off, and he was an electrician. And what was the other thing I got? There was a story about the World Cup, after the World Cup, when obviously he'd missed a penalty along with Chrissy Waddle as well. And they had to have some kind of test afterwards. I mean, that story is amazing. Because you do not want to be in a room after, you know, you've just been knocked out of a World Cup semi-final, and he needed to pardon the expression, he needed to pee. Because he was asked to, you know, give a sample. He couldn't. And everyone else, it was everyone else was like, you know, Gazza came in and straight away. Everyone else, and he was left with two Germans. And he, I'll let him tell the rest of the story. Hopefully, he'll do this on the night. What the atmosphere must have been like.
Oh, it must have been but I'm sure that'd be one that he will say on the night. And I think that's the inspiring, the interesting thing as well, Ian, because you've got that experience of a World Cup player, and you know, he's played for Forest for 12 years, he played at City, he's managed big clubs, so he's got lots of stories, lots of interesting things. But also think as well, with the young people in the audience, with the dads, it's inspiring them as well to say, look, this is what I've done in my career, you can go on and do this, but this is the pathway to do it. And I think having that inspiration, and funny enough, Becky and I were promoting the other week, and we were in Ryde, and we popped into one, I think the toy shop down Union Street. We went in there, put a couple of flyers in, and I think the owner came up and he looked at the flyer and he said, oh my God, Stuart Pearce is coming to the island. We said, yeah. He said, well, he used to train me at Wealdstone when I was like 7 years old. I'm like, wow. He said, yeah, you come in, and we said we knew he was a good player then. And then he said, he's coming to the island. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He said, he wouldn't remember me, but what a great opportunity to be in front of him again. So it just shows you. You just don't know.
And what a wonderful thing that even now, because you mentioned when we were talking in the green room, he's 60 now.
Yeah.
And you think, even now, when he's 60, he still has that kind of reputation and people remember him.
Yeah.
And that's a mark of a true pro.
Well, he stood back. I mean, the owner of the shop, I think it's Steve, his name was, stood back and looked at me and said he was such an inspiration when I was 7, 8 years old, that we'd come in and train for Wealdstone, and he was in like one of the youth teams, and Stuart was obviously playing for the first team. And then he said he would come over, do a bit of coaching, give one-to-one to the lads, have a chat. And he said at that time, it stayed with me all these years, or what he said to me, and how you can progress forward. So yeah,
he must have he will have a lot of advice for young people, because obviously his career went on and on and on. Did he play until he was 40?
Yes, I think he did.
I think, did he end up at West Ham or something like that?
At West Ham, and then obviously he was assistant manager at West Ham for I think about 12 months. But then he goes, he's managed City, he managed the England under 21s, he was caretaker manager for England. It's just, you know, a great CV, to be honest with you. And I just think, with the concept that Rebecca and I have had, thinking, bringing inspirational people like that to the island to say that you can do this. Francis, on the other hand, was, you know, had a massive career at Southampton and has raised, you know, nearly £1.5 million for cancer research. So, and Stuart's on the other side of it, massive England career, massive football career, but want to give back and support the community. And I just think it's a great opportunity to be in front of these people and ask a question. What do you want to know about the game? What was it like in the changing room? Who did you not like? You know.
He stayed out of your way. Many. I'm just picturing now who would go to this. Well, people like you and me that would remember Stuart Pearce, and also young people that want to be inspired by a true professional, because that's what he was. I'm not just saying that. When you think back of what he represented, what he was, how he played the game, how he was off the pitch, on the pitch, there's no dirt on Stuart Pearce. You know, he lived his life as a footballer, professionally, and I think that's the reason why he lasted so long. It's the reason why he's massively respected by so many. And I just think there's so many things that young people could learn from that. What's the best advice you can give a young person? I'd love to hear his answer to that.
Yeah,
Because it would go back to when he was young. What focused his mind?
Yeah.
When did you know? Yeah. When did you start thinking? Right, this is how it's got to be from now, and you've got to be professional.
Oh, absolutely.
And Evan, so many questions. You obviously worked with Brian Clough. Brian Clough was. Clough is another autobiography that I've got that my.
You have to read it now.
I do, but I haven't read it because no. I don't know how disappointed I'm going to be if I read it. Brian Clough's book, you know, another legend. It's there on the shelf, and I really, really wanted to pick it up and read it. And of course, I do a lot of autobiographies where they're audio books.
Yeah.
Of course, he can't do his now.
No.
But I would imagine it's a fascinating thing. I think Brian Clough was probably out of the same mould. He was tough. He was hard as nails. And that's probably why he got on with Stuart Pearce. But what a story. I mean, this bloke took over from Leeds, lost his job after 40 days.
Yeah.
And then went to Derby.
Yeah.
And then won a league with Derby.
Yeah.
And then went to Nottingham Forest, took them up from the old Division 1, got them promoted. They won the league. A year later, they won the European Cup. I don't think anybody else has done that.
No.
So anybody that's worked under that kind of management must have some interesting stories to tell.
Oh, 100%. And I think I haven't seen the things on Amazon. I think Michael Sheen plays Brian Clough.
Is it really good? Brilliant film.
Yeah, I've got to watch that. But no, I agree. I think what a tough upbringing in football. But what a you know, what an apprenticeship to have under Brian Clough.
Yeah.
And I think that really, I think the message there, Ian, for me, and just generally generally to the community, is it's not right, it's not, being tough on someone isn't a bad thing, because I think you learn, because it's taken Stuart as a whole career as a professional player and manager, it sits with you. So I think he gets the best out of players, and I don't think there's any professionals that knock Stuart. I just think he is what he is. He's no holds barred, he's a great professional. Would I have him playing today? Absolutely. Because he would bring even more to the game. I think we're losing that bit of sort of, I would say the hard men, but that physicality of someone that could... You're worried. When you come on the team sheet and you see those types of players, Vinnie Jones, Steve McMahon, Graham Souness, Stuart Pearce, you'd worry a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
To be honest with you?
Yeah, they're tough players, hard players. Do we have them now? Probably not. Is it a shame? Probably. Yeah, I mean, you know, the game has changed, and I think I heard a commentator say the other day that certain referees now are kind of letting some crunching tackles go to allow it to come back into the game. As long as it's fair and reasonable, that's fine.
Yeah.
But anybody that has worked with, you know, just say for instance, the World Cup semi-final, World Cup with, you know, playing with Gascoigne. What was that like? That's a story. But anyone that's worked with Brian Clough, who I think is probably one of the most charismatic, talented managers of our generation. Sadly, time cut short, and so on. I always remember him being on all sorts of TV programs, but there was that business with David Icke, and I think he appeared on Wogan and said something there, and Brian Clough said, son of God, everyone knows that my son Nigel is son of God. Just a character.
Do you think, as an England manager, should have been an England manager?
Yeah.
That would have, well, who knows what would have happened, but I think it had, well.
The FA weren't ready, because, you know, he was not, and wouldn't have been told what and how. And, you know, I just think that's a really sad thing, that development back in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was winning league titles, European Cups, he was quite obviously the manager of the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the FA didn't want him there because he wasn't going to be a yes man. And I don't suppose Stuart Pearce is a yes man either.
No, neither. I mean, the only other manager that comes to mind that maybe has some sort of recollection of Brian is maybe Alex Ferguson, to a point of managing a group of players. But yeah, I don't think that old school man management is a bad thing. It's obviously got the best out of players. I mean, the Forest team with Nigel Clough, I think it's Brian Laws, Des Walker, great team. Really, really good team.
Well, when you think he plucked Gary Birtles from the building site, turned him into a legend, and he would have also plucked Stuart Pearce himself from wherever he was. You know, he was an electrician. Didn't you say last week you were saying the story about his, because he was turning professional, but he didn't know which way it was going to go.
Yeah.
And didn't know what to do about his electric career.
Electric career, yeah. Because I think he was at Coventry for a bit, and I think it's one of the stories that he's openly shared, and he wasn't sure which way his career was going to go, so he carried on being an electrician. I mean... Who knew?
Well, that gives you a level of, you know, a thought of where he was in it. He wasn't prepared to take a risk. He was, you know, this is, right, okay, that's got to be, and fully focused on things. He wanted it to be right, and it turned out to be the right and the best thing he ever did.
Well, I just think he just rolled his sleeves up, and I think there was a YouTube where... Stuart was coming in talking to Brian Clough, and I think he just got his first cap for England, and he said, do you think you're good enough? Brian Clough said to Stuart, he said, well, I'm not sure, I'd hope so. Brian Clough said, well, I don't think you are, get out. And you're like, talk to players like that today, I don't think they would be able to take that, to be perfectly honest.
But that was his way of grounding him. Hey, look, you've played for England, and I'm nailing your feet to the floor.
Yeah.
And that was probably the best thing that could have happened at that time.
Well, he could have been that bad, could he? Because he was club captain for Forest for a long time, wouldn't he?
How marvellous. I just think there's some wonderful stories there. And obviously, on the night, people are now going to be thinking, well, hang on a minute, Stuart Pearce, come to the island, what's that all about? Quickly tell us how we can get a ticket.
Well, get a ticket, just go to medinatheatre.co.uk. All the information's there. We've also got two ticket options. So we've got a standard ticket option, which is £29.50. And we've also got a VIP option, which if you go into the standard, you can upgrade it. And to upgrade to a VIP ticket, you effectively come into the theatres earlier, so for 6:15, and you get to sort of sit around, meet the host, which we've got Richard Graves, who was Sky Sports and now covers Sheffield United football. So he'd be hosting the evening, so you get to talk to Richard, and then you get to do the red carpet with Stuart, meet and greet Stuart, and he can sign a piece of memorabilia, a shirt, a book, a photograph, and we think it's a great, you know, great experience. And what we felt with people, the Francis, they all in a way really had a really great evening. And I just think having Stuart there, and also as well, Ian, because it's the World Cup, you know, you've got a World Cup player and he's covering the World Cup, so what a great opportunity to ask him something on the red carpet as well. So
yeah it's amazing, isn't it? There's 32 years since that World Cup semi-final, and there he is, he's going to be commentating on it, you know, and it's almost like that went by in a blink, didn't it?
And where does that time go?
I
honestly don't know, because that's quite amazing, really. It doesn't seem that long ago, but 32 years, when you say it out loud, it's a long time.
It'd be interesting to give some advice on, you know, to young people that are wanting to make it big in football. You know, what happens when you stop playing? Because let's be honest, he went into management, he did a few things, but he hasn't done that for the last 20 years total. He's done other things as well. So it'd be interesting to see how, you know, how people cope with, you know, not having football in their life.
Yeah, like when you retire, what do you do? What's the next step? Why did you go into punditry? Would you go back into management? And I think those things are important for not just youngsters, but just generally for people to hear about the story about how did you sort of take your path and where did it lead and why did you do this? And I think that's just great information and great advice to give to people, because, you know, I'm just excited the fact with Rebecca and obviously with all the memorabilia we have and working with Star Signings, I just think it's just people to be in that room and experience that and walk away and think, oh, actually, I can do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do that, you know.
We've talked about 1990, but there's the other, it's probably one of his most iconic moments when he put that penalty to miss against Spain. That penalty miss against Spain put it to bed. That miss that would have kept him awake for so long, and then scoring that goal, and then turning to the crowd and doing that, you know, the fist things and so on, and you just think, yeah, that was an iconic moment.
Oh, I think that picture just resonates in people's minds, and we've sort of put that image across the island and spoke to community, and pretty much I would honestly say, Ian, 99.9% of people that see that image know what that image was from.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Stuart Pearce from, you know, the World Cup, or the people didn't quite know, but they knew the image. And you can just see his emotion. He's probably one of the only players that I've ever come across that his emotion just poured out, because it meant so much to him. And I think that transcends to the fans and just generally everybody to go, well, he's passionate, he meant it, he wants to do well. And I think that's the best message you can pass generally to the community.
Now, he was loyal to Nottingham Forest, didn't,
yep.
didn't leave him, he was there for a number of years. And you look at the way football went and the price tags went up. And I also remember Nottingham Forest. Didn't they sign Trevor Francis for £1 million?
Yes, they did, yeah.
I think Jerry Daly was the first ever £1 million player.
Yep, yep.
But you think, how much did Pearce go for from Wiltston or wherever it was he came from? He probably got him for a couple of quid and a... And a six pack or something.
I know. I honestly don't know. I think, like you say, maybe Stuart didn't think it was going to work out, or just, you know, not quite sure. But like you say, he went on, I think, 12 years he played for Forest.
Yeah.
And most of that he was captain. When they won the League Cup final. I think that was against Tottenham, I think, in 89. But they also lost the FA Cup final as well. So he's had ups and downs and lows and... I think everything in between, really.
Yeah.
And I think sharing that on a night and people to be there and experience that, I think you're in that room for that couple of hours and he's talking to you about his career and about what you can do and how you can go on and create, not just a football career, but a career. I just think there's all sorts of advice that comes out of that.
Well, one of my questions would be to him, obviously, what was it like working with Brian Clough?
Yeah.
But the other thing is, obviously, he was never, ever bought for stupid money. And was that a blessing? Because so many people, you know, nowadays, if they get bought, even if you're not very good, you know, if you're a player that plays in the Premier League, you're probably going to go for 20 million quid, which is massive.
Yeah.
Some of the top players, I mean, just say, for instance, if he was playing now, he'd have a price tag of somewhere around 60-odd million pounds.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. You know, that is a hell of a price tag to have around your neck. So I'm wondering whether, because you didn't have to live up to that pressure.
Yeah, I can sort of see that and agree with that. I think having that price, we've seen it so many times, Ian, with so many big players coming into clubs in this country and there's a massive price tag and a massive expectation and it doesn't quite deliver. And you think, is it because of the money? Is it because of the pressure? Is it, you know, I think sometimes you just get back to basics and just play football and just enjoy it and you haven't got that pressure. I think you do play better because you haven't got that pressure around you to think, well, you know, I've been the highest paid defender or the highest paid forward in the world. A lot of pressure for you, really.
And let's, you know, go back to his electric days where, you know, he had to make a choice whether he was going to play professional football or continue being an electrician. And you look at that and you think, you can kind of weigh it up and think, yeah, that meant a lot to him. He wasn't, like, wealthy enough to say, right, I'll take a risk or I'll take a chance. No, he either had to, you know, I'm going to do this until that works and so on. So money was important to him. It wasn't like it was handed to him on a plate and he was going to be wealthy forevermore, so he probably respected it a hell of a lot more than some professional footballers would today, I think, because they go off the rails because they've been paid so much money. You know, oh, you're a £30 million player, that's pressure. I still think that that's probably helped him, but at the same time, he was probably one person that, because he was so level-headed, he probably would have coped through that.
Yeah, and I also think, like, the demands of the game, you know, playing week in, week out, three games a week, so you've got a game on a Wednesday, a game on a Saturday, and you might have another game on like the following Tuesday, and you could be anywhere in the world. That's pressure itself. But if you've got a £60-100 million price tag, you know, and your wages are thousands of pounds a week, that's difficult to cope with, because as soon as you don't perform, as we know, the media and the fans get on top of you, and that causes pressure, and that's got to affect you and your family life and everything else around you. So, yeah, maybe not having that pressure at the beginning and just thinking, well, is my football going to career work, or my electrical business going to go? Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? And maybe you just thought, let's give them both a go.
Yeah.
And he had no pressure.
No.
You know?
Hey, look, I've got one more question, and that is... can you call him psycho?
I don't know.
Who's going to be brave enough to call him, all right, psycho?
Yeah, do you know what? I don't know, to be honest with you on that one. I just see I just see him as a really tough player. And I think just he's very, very physical, very hard. But no, I don't think I'll be saying that, to be honest with you. No. No.
Someone will.
Someone in the audience will, won't they?
You better see the response anyway. They weren't going to look.
No.
He might like it. Psycho, yeah. Hey, look, it's happening on November the 6th. Get yourself a ticket. It's at Medina Theatre. More details, please.
Yeah, more details. Buy tickets at medinatheatre.co.uk. Two options. We have a standard ticket and a VIP ticket, so you can sort of upgrade your ticket from a standard to a VIP. And on the VIP area, you get to meet Stuart, do the red carpet, have a conversation with him, get something signed. And also, as well, the other good thing is Rebecca and I went into London a couple of weeks ago and saw Stuart, and he's basically signed a lot of England shirts for us. He signed a Nottingham Forest shirt, which was the League Cup final shirt, and we've also got him, he signed with the other Forest shirt, which is the Bat sponsor. I think he wore that shirt when he actually had his testimonial against Newcastle United. So he's done a couple of England shirts for us, a couple of Forest shirts for us, and some pictures as well that are all going to be framed up and sold on the evening, so people can experience that, and hopefully raise some money for Wessex as well.
Brilliant. Good luck with the night. I hope it's went wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I think there should be some great stories, and I just think that I see so many people there watching, you know, men, ladies, young kids that will be able to ask the question, give me some advice. I just think that will be such good advice from someone that is been there, done it, came out the other side, and is probably more level-headed and more respected in the game than most.
And what would be the one question you would ask him, Ian, on the night? What would you ask him?
Can I call you psycho? Or do I have to call you psycho run? I probably want to know more about Brian Clough, and so on. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, fantastic. We look forward to that. And, hopefully it'll be a great evening.
Brilliant.
Community to come and have an enjoyable night.
Thanks for being there. Thanks for coming in, Pete. And good luck with the evening.